There is a big rush in the Senate right now to pass a $1.2 trillion funding bill that would keep the lights on in the federal government past midnight when funding expires. It passed in the House this morning. And because of that, Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene threw the lower chamber into chaos by filing a motion to vacate Republican Speaker Mike Johnson from his job.
He passed a budget that should have never been brought to the floor, did not represent our conference, and it was passed with the Democrats and without the majority of the majority.
What happens if he moves?
And in another fast approaching deadline, Donald Trump has until Monday to put up some big money to stop his properties from being seized in New York. Let's bring in our Friday politics roundtable. Isaac Arnsdorf is national political reporter for The Washington Post and author of a book that's coming out next month called Finish What We Started, about the MAGA movement. Hi, Isaac. And we'll get Isaac in a minute. Scott Wong is a senior congressional reporter for NBC News. Scott, welcome.
Hello, good to be with you.
So, Scott, let's get your quick take on this big budget bill. Is it going to pass the Senate by midnight to prevent a shutdown? What are you hearing there?
Yes, it will pass the Senate. The big question is, you're right, will it pass by the midnight deadline? It all depends on if they can get agreement from all 100 senators, but it looks to be on track. The House got it to them relatively early. They will have to work through some processes, but, you know, it looks to be on track. If there is a very brief shutdown, it could be, you know, hours long into the early morning, but you know, for all intents and purposes, I don't think any Americans will feel any sort of pain if funding lapses for a few hours.
Except for Congresswoman Greene might feel some pain. As we mentioned, she filed that motion to vacate. So, Isaac, what happens next after that motion?
So this is not going to come up before the recess. So the House is going to be out for a few weeks, and they can deal with it when they get back. So that's the first thing. And then, you know, it's not totally clear, you know, like Scott said, a majority of Republicans didn't support this budget. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're all going to want to throw Mike Johnson out, especially since it wasn't that long ago that they went through this and ended up with Mike Johnson because they like couldn't figure anyone out. So I'm sure there are going to be a lot of Republicans who might not be happy with the spending bill, but also wouldn't love the spectacle of casting around for another speaker in an election year.
And okay, I was actually with Miss Greene, Marjorie Taylor Greene, a few minutes ago on the steps of the Capitol. And she is really upset about the fact that Johnson did this budget deal and relied mostly on Democratic votes. It bypassed all the normal procedures. It bypassed the Rules Committee. The majority of Republicans did not support it because they believe it did not cut spending enough, did not, you know, address border security enough. And what this act does, while Johnson is not under threat to be removed right now, House Republicans and senators as well will be leaving for a two-week Easter recess, their spring break, if you will. And so this hangs above Johnson's head for the next 2 weeks. It will be a major storyline. And guess who gets to be in the spotlight for the next 2 weeks? Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's concerned with spending, but also with funding for Ukraine, which she does not really want to see pass the United States Congress.
And Scott, given you were just with her, I'm very curious because we're reading that right after she filed the motion, she was swarmed by her Republican colleagues, many of whom trying to convince her not to do this. Do you think she's hearing them? Did she say anything about that?
She did. Yes, she was swarmed by Republican colleagues on the House floor. Obviously, people trying to understand what this was about, what her concerns were. Was she serious about forcing the actual vote on the floor? She basically, you know, has teed up this vote for when they return, but still can decide to pull back or to withdraw it. I talked to Mike Lawler. He's a moderate Republican from a very swing district, a vulnerable Republican. He said, look, what this does is it paints us as, you know, a chaotic conference. It undermines faith and from voters in the Republicans who hold this majority. And it's bad for the party. And so there's a lot of Republicans that clearly are not on board with what MTG is doing. There's also a number of Democrats that have indicated, mostly privately, that they are willing to join hands with some Republicans to save Mike Johnson in the event that this vote heads to the floor.
Yeah, and speaking of the Democrats, President Biden stepped up his campaigning this week. He visited Texas, Arizona, Nevada. He opened campaign offices, wanted to shore up support among Latinos who helped him win last time. Here he is in Reno.
And folks, you know, we're going to keep making the case for second term by lowering the cost and creating more jobs. You know, we have grassroots support.
He talked about American values, unions, jobs, bringing down drug prices, standing up to Russia in ways he says the former President Trump will not. He's trying to overcome concerns that he is not connecting with the voters. So, Isaac, how do you think he's doing?
Well, the Biden campaign is thrilled with how the past few weeks have been going pretty much since the State of the Union. They love the contrast that they've been drawing with Biden actually doing a lot more campaigning than Trump. And when Trump has been going out and doing these rallies, creating a lot of controversies with what he's been saying about January 6th or using the term bloodbath in Ohio last weekend. And so they feel like they're really since the primary ended and we've moved into the general election phase, now that both candidates have become the presumptive nominees, they really like actually the way that that sort of reset the race and creating the contrast between Biden and Trump in that Biden and Trump that they want to see. They're not really seeing that show up in the polls as much as they'd probably like to quite yet. But it's still early, and the polls in the key states have been sort of a mixed bag. You can pick and choose.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting. Maybe the polls are not showing it, but Biden made a lot of money. His campaign made twice as much in the last week, we're learning, than former President Trump has. Some of his money went to ads like this, which play back some of Trump's own comments about the pandemic.
And then I see the disinfectant. And is there a way we can do something like that? By injection inside or...
And on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your response to this crisis?
I'd rate it a 10. I think we've done a great job.
So I'm wondering, Scott, you know, campaign cash, is that a good way to measure where a campaign's at? I mean, we do know that Trump earns a lot of free media.
Yes. I mean, I think it's one measure that we should, you know, take into consideration. Biden obviously announcing that he raised more than $50 million in the month of February. That's a big number that he put up, dwarfing the numbers coming from Trump world. However, I will point out, and this has been a discussion on Capitol Hill and throughout Washington, that Hillary Clinton also raised more money than Donald Trump in the 2016 campaign cycle. She did not end up winning the presidency. And so there's that. President Trump has a way of capturing media, capturing, you know, galvanizing support among his very loyal people, especially as he has been railing against some of the criminal charges that have been filed against him in various courts of law. And yeah. So, you know, while it is one aspect that we need to consider, and the fact that President Trump has said, you know, indicated that some of his campaign money will be going towards his legal defenses, that's another, challenge that he is dealing with. It cannot be overstated that, you know, Trump is an entirely different type of politician than we really have ever seen before.
And speaking of that, Isaac, the week started with Trump using, as we mentioned, some very heated rhetoric. Being divisive, that's hardly out of character. He also notably said this about a national abortion ban on WABC radio.
And it'll come out to something that's very reasonable. But people are really, even hardliners are agreeing, seems to be 15 weeks, seems to be a number that people are agreeing at.
There's not actually agreement on that. What do you make, Isaac, of Trump's messaging?
The Biden campaign has just been clobbering him with that comment. Some other comments he made that seeming to take credit for the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade. And also a comment he made the other week suggesting that he'd be open to cutting Social Security, which is definitely off message for him. And they had a field day with that as well. So that, you know, all goes back into the way that they feel like they've really had a good few weeks. You know, the money that we were talking about is a huge factor in why we've been actually seeing less of Trump. You know, those rallies are expensive to put on, and the campaign is really focused on trying to close that gap, and that means spending more time in private fundraisers.
And, you know, take us out, just Scott, with a quick take on Ukraine aid. Is it going to pass anytime soon? Some lawmakers are talking about making it a loan.
Yeah, actually, the loan idea is something that was floated by former President Trump himself to some Republican senators. It is an idea that is on the table. However, as I mentioned before, lawmakers are leaving for a two-week recess. So the soonest we will see a vote on critical funding for Ukraine in the House of Representatives will be sometime in mid-April at the earliest. This obviously comes as Russia has launched a barrage of new attacks on civilian targets and energy targets in Ukraine. Yeah. Zelensky has said that, unless he gets aid from the U.S. and the West, there's a real possibility that they could lose the war.
That's right. Isaac Arnsdorf, national political reporter for The Washington Post. Scott Wong is senior congressional reporter for NBC News.